Hello, my name is Tobe. This is the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. You're listening to Anon Radio because, well, that's just how cool you are. Where did I put that magic piece of paper? Oh, here it is. Gotta keep my agenda handy at all times. All right, what's the first thing on today's agenda? Today I heard one of the phrases that really annoys the hell out of me. This is one of my pet peeves. Just listening to people say this, it's just a stupid, stupid thing to say that nobody's put any thought into, just like all the cute aphorisms and epithets we have still today in the 21st century. I mean, come on, do we still have people making samplers, cross-stitch samplers, and hanging them on the wall? No. This is one of those phrases that every mom says to their child at some point in time without thinking. It's just one of the stupidest things. And I heard this again on TV today, and that's why I'm up in arms about it at this time. I want to smack somebody. The phrase in question here today is this. If everybody jumped off a bridge, would you? The stupidest question ever, isn't it? Because the person asking it and everybody else is supposed to presume that the answer is automatically no. And that is incorrect thinking. After all, isn't strategy situational? Yes, it is. And when we look at the situation, the strategy becomes obvious and the answer is always yes. How can this be, you might be asking? Well, allow me to explain. First of all, we need to define some terms, namely everyone and bridge, because everyone is a little vague and so is bridge. And don't they sort of depend on each other, or at least doesn't everyone depend on bridge? I mean, everyone. Are we talking about all the people in the world? Oh, of course not. They could never all fit on one bridge. So how big is this bridge? How many people does it, you know, hold? What's the capacity of the bridge? You know, that's what I'm saying here. So let's not really give it a definition. Let's just say this is a fairly large bridge and there are a lot of people, a non-zero number of people. It could be anything. It could be anywhere between 10 and 1,000. Let's just say there is a very large but ambiguously numbered a number of group amount of people on this bridge. Okay? Great. At this point, it doesn't really matter why the people are on the bridge, because the only action that's happening here is everyone is jumping off. And the question is, will you jump as well? And now, here comes the real question. Here's the real underlying question. What's the driving force behind people jumping off the bridge? What is the incentive that is making people choose the strategy of leaving the bridge? This is also your incentive. If everybody's jumping and you are in the subset of everybody, you are the subset of everybody that we're talking about here. What's your incentive for jumping off the bridge? Because if everybody else, the X number of people are jumping off the bridge, if they have made that decision, there must be something going on that's forcing them to do that, because rational people do not just jump off bridges. Yes, there are some people who do. These are irrational people. But you gotta figure, we have a large enough statistical sample on the bridge, remember, this is everyone, that the numbers alone, you're only gonna get a couple of irrational people who are going to make the decision to jump off the bridge. So there's a lot of rational people here who are making that decision. What's their incentive? Well, it must be something very drastic if they're jumping off the bridge. Is the bridge on fire? Are both ends of the bridge on fire? And my best strategy is to jump off the bridge? Then I would jump off the bridge. Are there panzers rolling down the bridge? Is there a whole platoon of tanks rolling across the bridge where, you know, a situation in which I would be crushed if I did not leave the bridge? Then, of course, I am going to jump off the bridge. Is there any, there's plenty of other crazy things that could be happening here. Terrorists could be standing at the end of the bridge, on each end of the bridge, shooting guns. Yeah. That's going to cause people to jump off the bridge. One thing that the moms, or whoever's asking this question, usually people in some kind of pseudo-authority, one thing that they never ever take into consideration is how high is the bridge above whatever you're jumping into? I'm just assuming this is a bridge over some water. Maybe it's 20 feet. No problem. I'm not going to get hurt. I can swim. What's the big deal? Now, if this is a bridge that's 900 feet above concrete, it's a different story. But there aren't any bridges like that. So, come on. So, this is a message to all the children who might be listening. If and when your parents or teacher ever ask you if everybody jumps off a bridge, would you? That's when you say, oh, I don't know, I don't have enough information. Is the bridge on fire? Are these rational people? How many people are on the bridge? What kind of bridge is it? Always be asking questions. And always question those people, those pseudo-authoritarians who are trying to make you act like a sheep. These people aren't shepherds. They're sheep themselves. And remember, a sheep in wolf's clothing is a threat to no one. Now, I know there's probably some kid out there who's saying,
but my parents always say, if everybody jumped off a building, would you jump?
Well, kid, let me just tell you this. You need to be asking the same questions. Is the building on fire? Is, quote, everybody, end quote, a base jumping club? See what I'm saying? Do you have a parachute on your back? How high is the building? Is the building facing some water? Is there a giant mattress underneath? You know, there's a lot of decisions to make here. There's a lot of things to think about, and there's a lot of points to weigh before you decide. Don't just automatically do what everybody else does, and don't just automatically do the opposite. Use your God-given brain. Or, if you believe that you live in a chaotic and disorder-filled universe without a god, then use your dice to make your decision. If you don't have a brain, just roll the dice, flip a coin, choose something at random. Just remember that you will always be responsible for your decisions. And there's always an argument against each side of the coin. Personally, myself, I can't really remember if I've ever jumped off of a bridge. I've spent a lot of time in places that have bridges. They're very low. It seems like something I would be inclined to do if I needed to jump down to track a marmot or something like that, or if I needed to look under the bridge. I don't know. Maybe I'll just start taking pictures of me jumping off of bridges and then post them with the caption, if Tobe jumped off a bridge, would you? You know, now that I actually do think about it, I seem to remember a time where I jumped off of a train trestle, a drop of all of about 5 feet. I should also point out that there wasn't anybody else with me. I was the only person doing it, so I was everyone. And therefore, if everyone jumped off a train trestle, would you do it? Yes, well, when I'm everyone, when the set is the same, Then yes, I will do it because I had already done so. You know, this spring, while I am looking for marmots and mushrooms at the Arboretum, this is a place that has four bridges. Wait, let me think. One, two, three, four. Is that right? One, two, three. No, five. There are five bridges. I'm going to make a concerted effort to jump off every single one of these bridges this spring. You realize, of course, that they're not very high. One of them kind of is. There might be a 6-foot drop under that one. Ooh, danger zone. But I'm going to make sure I'm jumping off of all of them. Because, you know, maybe I'm just not jumping off enough bridges. Maybe everyone just isn't jumping off enough bridges. I mean, because even though you're asked a million times as a child, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it? You don't actually ever see anybody jumping off bridges. And the only time you ever see anybody jumping off bridges is in the movies. Or sometimes on some extreme sports thing where they're showing people base jumping. And I just realized that jumping off a bridge is base jumping. Just, you know, without a parachute. So I'm going to be base jumping this spring. I'm going to base jump off these bridges with no parachute. Or, what's even funnier is, I could take a parachute there and then just not deploy it. Just have a parachute in my pocket. I've got some big rocket parachutes. Yeah, I could just stuff them in a backpack, put it on, and jump off a bridge. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll have to make a video. If and when I do this, I'll be sure to let all my listeners know that it has happened, and I will provide photographs. Oh boy, dubious goals. Don't we have some very peculiar ones? Yes, we do. All right, while I sit here and consider a few more very dubious goals that are probably a little bit less extreme than jumping off a bridge, I would like you to listen to this.
gonna give me the brutes? Okay.
I missed it, guys. Try it again. Hi, I'm Eddie Idle. I-D-L-E. No, it's not my real name. Before this, I was Chaney Link in the prisons. That wasn't my real name either. I guess that wasn't a very good name. Probably because I thought of it before I found Mertz.
That's right, Eddie. We love you.
Everything was bad then, before Mertz. We couldn't get any material to perform. And arguments broke out on stage. Guys were taking equipment home, not bringing it back. Maybe you read about it.
No, we hated each other.
The prisms. You guys aren't even the prisms. Well, anyway.
Sorry, Eddie. I wasn't following.
These guys don't even read.
Yeah.
Then I happened to buy a tin of Mertz, the tiny brain-shaped tablet that makes up your mind. Well, that changed everything, I guess. I ditched the band. I changed my name, got these guys together, switched to keyboards. Now I'm Eddie Idle, completely famous, with a future that's economically secure.
That's gonna be a great song.
You know, you guys can get your life in gear too, but first, you've got to get your mind in gear with Mertz. Mertz makes up your mind. Okay, guys, let's do another take on Rolling Down the River.
Mertz makes up your mind.
Take only as directed.
You're a baby.
What are you doing from the left, dear? One serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
My mistake, ma'am.
Well, I should say it is Calpurnia. Mother, your maid is... Oh, hello.
Evening. Sorry to disturb your,
elegant dinner party for the most elegant people in all of New York.
I'm the most horrible! Okay, I'm sitting here with a big cup of tea. It's so yummy. It's so good and it's so warm. It's so cold here today that I'm very glad to be drinking hot tea. It's so delicious. I love tea. Who am I? Well, if you're just joining us, I suppose you may not know that I am, in fact, Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the meeting of which you are listening to right now. Well, what's next on the agenda? I managed to shave today. I realize that that probably doesn't sound like much of an accomplishment to most people, but when you have my cat, it can be a trick. Mostly because, well, I don't even know where to start. Okay, first of all, when you walk into the bathroom, if you don't leave the door ajar so the cat can come in, the cat will just sit outside the bathroom door and just go yang, 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 doing the kitty yang business. And if that doesn't get on your nerves fast enough, then Pippa will lay down on the floor and stick her paws under the door and try to grab you or anything else you can imagine. Anything else that she can get her little kitty paws on, she will grab it, including the towel or bath mat that you are standing on, and then she'll try to pull it out from underneath you. Luckily, kitties aren't that strong. Otherwise, I would have taken a spill. But no, I don't close the door all the way. I leave the door partially open, and this means that when you're standing at the sink, then the cat has to see what you're doing. So she jumps up onto the toilet, and then she gets up onto the back of the toilet, and then she walks across the cat, or the coat rack, not the coat rack, the towel rack, to get to the sink area. And then she walks all over the stuff on the sink and starts knocking things into the sink and says, yeah, yeah, meow. And then while you're sitting there trying to shave, she's wondering why you keep sticking something up to your face. And if you're sticking stuff up to your face, then it must be food. So then she has to try to smell the shaving cream or take the razor out of your hand. And this makes shaving a somewhat considerably more laborious process. But of course, once you break out the alcohol, she bails and goes flump, 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 running out the door. And what's the alcohol for? Well, I use 91% isopropyl alcohol as aftershave. Considering that most aftershave is just alcohol to begin with, and I don't want to smell like anything, I just use straight alcohol. I love isopropyl alcohol so much. You've heard me talk about it before. It's a solvent. It's a fuel. You can do so much with it. It's an aftershave. It's a germicidal fungistat. I don't know if it's a fungistat. It might depend on the fungus. But anyway, isopropyl alcohol. Easily in the top five of greatest things ever, in my opinion. In football news, I got to watch a bunch of FA Cup games yesterday, which, I don't know, it kind of took me by surprise because for some reason I kind of forgot that this last weekend was an FA Cup weekend and I was expecting my regular league games. And then when I went to look for them, I was like, where are my league games? And when I started checking all the sports channels, then I realized, oh, that's right. Today's an FA Cup day. Well, I guess that's okay. But that's the annoying thing. You'd think that the same people who got the broadcast rights for the league games would have the rights for the cup games, but no. So that's a little screwy. So I had to be looking at other channels, and I was confused there for about 5 minutes, but I got over it. And I was very happy that it was actually FA Cup Day, because now I get to see English teams that I wouldn't normally get to see on TV. Like, I got to see Scunthorpe play, and I got to see Exeter play, and I got to see Sheffield United play. Although I would have preferred to see Sheffield Wednesday, but yeah, I don't get to have everything that I wish for. Just most of the stuff. Who else did I get to see play that I never get to see? I don't remember. There was a few. It was great. I enjoyed it immensely. Okay, enough about football. Oh, also this weekend, I forgot to mention this earlier. I may have solved another mystery. Another mystery that is constantly being perpetrated in my house. And that is, why is there more hair on the stairs than anywhere else? As you may or may not remember, I am in fact a hair model, and as such, I have extraordinarily long and luxurious thick hair. And for some reason that I haven't quite been able to figure out, I might have figured it out. My hair tends to collect on the stairs. You can't find my hair in the hallway. You can't find it on the landings. It's always on the stairs. And I always gotta, you know, clean the stairs off, because not only is my hair being collected in the stairs, but so is the cat hair. And the cat sheds more than I do. And even if you walk into my house and don't notice my cat immediately, once you go up the stairs, you're going to wonder, geez, there's a lot of fuzz and fluffy stuff all over these stairs. And yes, that's because there are fluffy people in my house. The stairs are just covered in hair. Cat hair and people hair. Why is that? Why do the stairs attract more hair than any other place? Well, I've got a two-word answer for you. I think I finally figured it out last night. I don't know how it came to me, but it should be obvious to anyone if they think about it for a while that what's happening here are eddy currents. That's right. Eddy currents are making hair stay on the stairs. I think what's happening here is that as the air flows, you know, down the stairs, it blows the hair and the kitty fluff with it because it's very light. But when it gets to the stairs, the air can flow down the stairs, but as the air flows downstairs, little eddy currents swirl behind each step. And what's happening is the cat hair or the taube hair is getting caught in these eddy currents of air and eventually settling at the base of the step, because once the eddy current sort of fizzles out, the hair just drops where it is, and then it can't be blown again because the air is flowing over the top of the stairs and the eddies aren't strong enough to blow that hair back out. So, I don't know. It sounds like a good enough scientific explanation for me, and it makes perfect sense. And that's why I have to clean the stairs off every 3 days. Or fewer, every 2 days. Man, if I let it go for a week, I can collect enough cat hair to make a whole new cat. A small one, anyway. Oh, boy. It's okay, so if you, yourself, any of my listeners, need some cat hair mixed with taube hair, I can send you a bag. It ships really cheap. I doubt it would cost me more than $1 to ship it to you. So drop me a line and I'll send you a free bag of mixed mammal hair. I don't really know what you might do with a bag of mixed mammal hair, but you know, once it's out of my house, it's no longer my concern. I'd love to sit here and make you a whole bunch more free offers, but I'm running out of time. That's right, it's getting closer to 2000 hours, which means my time here on Anon Radio is coming to an end for today. I would like to remind you that you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio. And I can be heard every day at 19:30. So tune in tomorrow to see what other wacky stuff we might have on the agenda. As for me, I'm getting out of here. So a bye 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.